Monday morning, everybody. We're on Royal Baby Watch. Everybody look up. The president, as it turns out, is black.
Huh?
Oh, my God. All right. 1-800. It's a lot for a Monday morning.
I know.
Great. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Eric Bollert joins us next hour from Media Matters. All right. And StephanieMiller.com, you can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Marcus in Charlotte did. Also, you know why else today's a big day?
Why?
Por qué?
Huh?
Por qué?
Steph, I just got an email from SiriusXM about the relaunch of the channel you were on, renaming it from Sirius Left to Sirius XM Progress.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Today, when I looked up the new lineup, I was excited to see the Stephanie Miller Show is back for the full 3 hours.
Yay.
Yay. As a courier, I drive in my vehicle all day, and satellite radio is the only way I can listen. I'm so excited. This is starting.
Yay!
So excited, and just can't hide it.
Yay! Lots of exciting new shows. Our friend Michelangelo Ciarini has a show. Mark Thompson. Right, did I say that wrong?
Michelangelo Signorelli.
Right.
Signorini. Signorina Lala.
Ari Ravenhoff does a show before us.
What's the matter with you, huh? Out of no respect for our fellow hosts, huh? Okay. All right, so,
Hey, what's the matter with you? Upstairs, right? No downstairs.
Okay. All right, so lots to get to. Marks. We are just recovering from the nude Geraldo Rivera.
Well,
it's
above the waist.
You can see pubic bone, though.
He's in good shape. I'll give him that.
Well, he's looking through rose-colored glasses.
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah, he has colored glasses on. Who does that?
Right.
Geraldo.
So was he drunk or what? This is just at 1 in the morning? He decided that the America needs to see him and all his...
stuff.
Good. Okay.
All of his waxed glory.
And of all the, yes, and obviously amazing stuff all weekend, Trayvon Martin, vigils and protests around the country. And, of course, Geraldo Rivera, it's a pretty low bar there, but he pretty much limboed under it. He was the one that said, if you dress like a thug, you get treated like one.
Yeah.
Which kind of implied he kind of had it coming.
It's a death sentence, yeah.
Yeah.
Wearing a hoodie, and it's raining.
Yeah. I would much prefer that Geraldo wore several hoodies in that picture. However, he did not.
I wanted to cover up that mustache.
Sure.
Right. Oh, that one. His facial hair is what Jim was referring to. All right. And then, obviously, everybody talking about that was pretty extraordinary, the president's speech on Friday. I literally, as you're watching it, you're like, oh, the right wing's going to say a whole bunch of about this. And sure enough.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. And then I turn into Meet the Press, and Tavis Smiley is also taking him to task. I'm like, can this guy not say or do anything right for anybody at this point? I mean, he's like, oh, he didn't give a press conference. He was pushed. Like, how do you know? Like, the president can't say anything on race without taking it from both sides. And I thought it was really pretty extraordinary and moving and personal, the president on Friday.
When Trayvon Martin was first shot, I said that this could have been my son. Another way of saying that is Trayvon Martin could have been me 35 years ago.
Yeah. And I thought, he spoke, what was that, for like 19 minutes or something? It obviously was a complete surprise. He just came in the briefing room.
No teleprompter, just from his heart.
Right. So they weren't able to do that criticism.
He's reading off the tea. He wasn't? Oh, damn it.
Right. Because, that was an extraordinary moment to go, wow, this is the president of the United States of America and talking about how this has been him. A lot of the experiences that a lot of black people talk about that frankly, as liberal as you can be as white, you don't understand it. You haven't been followed in a department store. You haven't been pulled over just for driving a nice car in a nice neighborhood or whatever. I mean, it's I thought it was extraordinary, the president.
There are very few African-American men in this country who haven't had the experience of being followed when they were shopping in a department store. That includes me. There are very, very few African-American men who haven't had the experience of walking across the street and hearing the locks click on the doors of cars. That happens to me, at least before I was a senator. There are very few African Americans who haven't had the experience of getting on an elevator and a woman clutching her purse nervously and holding her breath until she had a chance to get off. That happens often.
I was going to say it probably still happens to him every now and again when Michelle Bachmann's in the same elevator with him. I'm just guessing. Or various other Tea Party Republicans.
Lord, the day
God.
There's a black man in the elevator.
The last days. Oh, Lord, Jehovah God.
Please get us, let us get to the fourth floor without the black man taking my purse.
You know what Sean Hannity said when...
I don't want to know. Okay,
when,
I guess I do.
When the president said that Trayvon Martin could have been him, he said, well, yeah, both of you smoked pot and did a little blow.
Oh, boy.
Ah! Okay. Yeah, I saw that elsewhere in the in the right wing Twitterverse. That they're both potheads. Okay, so and I'm guessing he still hears the locks from probably Tea Party Republicans. Or
sure.
Probably when he comes in for State of the Union, you hear briefcase and the locks. July. Guess you haven't noticed he's back. Right, exactly. I bet you Joe Wilson locked up his belongings.
That's right.
His hoods and things. I mean, stuff. Whatever it is he carries to work.
It's a different kind of hoodie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then I could tell the parallel universe was complete when I read a headline that said John McCain agrees with the president. What? What is that?
Well, that...
On Stand Your Ground.
No, that Stand Your Ground should be looked at.
Yes.
He didn't say that it should be repealed. He said we should look at it.
You think?
I just ask people to consider, if Trayvon Martin was of age and armed, could he have stood his ground on that sidewalk? And do we actually think that he would have been justified in shooting Mr. Zimmerman, who had followed him in a car, because he felt threatened? And if the answer to that question is at least ambiguous, then it seems to me that we might want to examine those kinds of laws.
That's what I've been saying.
By the way,
mentioned how it's Trayvon Martin is dead because he followed the letter of the Alec License to Murder law and protected himself against an unstoppable deadly force.
Yeah. By the way, someone else made the point we made on Meet the Press about. Mm-hmm. They said, I haven't noticed the NRA hasn't said anything that Trayvon Martin should have had a gun.
Yeah.
He'd still be here.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, where are you? Where are you, Wayne LaPierre?
Don't let the scary black man have a gun.
Yeah. George Zimmerman was stalking him. Trayvon Martin would have been completely within his rights to shoot him.
If he had a gun.
Shoot him dead.
Mm-hmm. What is with this bogus right wing? They keep circulating these pictures that are not Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, it's some rapper guy with tattoos on his face and stuff.
They keep going, this is what they're trying to hide from you. They've used a picture from when he was 10. It's like, what?
No.
Literally, they're like, this is what he really looked like. And it's like you go... That's totally not him. What? It's like tattoos all over his face.
Do they have some sort of license to conduct journalism over at Fox?
I don't know if it wasn't Fox News. This was an email that was circulated.
Oh, yeah. No, I got it. Yeah. And I was like, what? I mean, it looks like Mike Tyson. You're like, wait a minute, huh? Anyway, that's the latest conspiracy theory. Let's go to John in Jersey. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, John.
Hi. How you been doing, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
It's my third time calling. But the thing I noticed about the whole situation with the president in this case is, I noticed that a lot of the right wing are talking about how he's creating racial tensions by the statement he's saying. But all he's talking about is his own experiences.
Right.
I also thought Sean Hannity's special on this whole case. And I noticed in Fox they have this Uncle Tom of the Month Club behind these guys.
I don't think it's an official thing, but okay.
Uncle Tom of the Month Club,
right?
Because it looks like Charlie McCarthy's. remember Charlie McCarthy and Knucklehead Smith?
Yeah. You're mixing up.
It's
Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer Snerd,
right?
And it was Jerry Mahoney and Knucklehead Smith,
right?
But
anyway.
Easy mistake to make.
Yes. Anyway, can I just tell you, I literally am a minute into Meet the Press, and I'm like, really, Tavis Smiley? All the president, so they find, not using that phrase, but they find a black guy to come on and go, the president's not leading enough, and he's not leading on race, and he didn't say
he's
enough.
He's leading too much.
And he didn't say it soon enough. I'm like, really?
He said it too soon, and yet not soon enough.
Right. Predictably, the right-wing white Twitterverse went crazy that he said too much, and he's racializing, and it's like, oh, my God. Really, people?
Really?
Really, people? Okay. Let's go to Linda in Tennessee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Stephanie. Stick with me a minute here. I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
But
they didn't want to bring that case. They done said, oh, no, there's no problem there. And the outcry, they had to prosecute it. And then I find out that Corey is a right-wing conservative. So I think they prosecuted because they had to, but I think they did the least they could do.
Well, Linda, here's a question. I hate to say it, but kids, we are not in a post-racial America, and how do you get an all-white jury?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
absolutely.
Sorry. Race was an issue here. It absolutely was. Mm-hmm.
It absolutely was. And that prosecutor was horrible. I sat here on the couch. I'm not a lawyer. I could have did better than them.
Yep.
They were terrible. I just don't think they tried their vigorously to prosecute that
case. I don't think we should mention race.
Yeah, it's like the make it go away.
You shouldn't have mentioned race. I don't think that's the right thing to do. I really don't.
He's busting out the Marco Mirror impression first thing on Monday morning.
I don't think.
Okay. All right.
Could we like him? Because I don't understand what he's saying.
I don't think that the race thing is.
Just...
It's like he's like a set of those clattery comedy teeth with just a face around it. Face
I think that
loosely.
May be what it is. Yes. The clattering teeth, and they put a rubber face around it.
They put Jerry Mahoney's face around it.
All right. Brought it right back to an immature level.
Yes.
All right. 17.
Stephanie,
yes.
Twitter wants to know if that is a dog drowning in a martini glass on
no,
your...
No, the dog is not drowning. The dog is drinking. Everybody. It's a party shirt.
On your shirt. Okay.
Woo! Okay.
That looks like a shirt you get at the airport.
Well, I did not. 17 minutes after the hour, right back.
Live with Victor the Victory Elephant.
Yeah.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I've got to forget on the disco ride. Yeah.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The president, in his, I thought, extraordinary remarks on race on Friday.
They're disproportionately both victims and perpetrators of violence. It's not to make excuses for that fact.
You know, that's a lot of people have been talking about that because every time we get a right wing call, the blacks kill each other more than the, like. What is that? First of all, what's your point? So we should be able, whites should be able to kill them too, because sometimes black people kill each other. It's like, as a lot of people made the point on TV this weekend, people tend to kill people where they live and where they work and where they, you know, Adam Lanza was in his neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just it killed all white kids. I mean, anyway, I just like I don't get some of the arguments in relation to the Trayvon Martin case. I don't. It's like, well, okay, so that makes it okay. I mean, anyway. So the president said Trayvon could have been me 35 years ago. As we he sent thoughts and prayers out to Trayvon Martin's family, praised them for the incredible grace and dignity with which they dealt with the entire situation. I don't know if you heard Trayvon's mom speak, but she was really amazing.
She was.
He said when Trayvon, we talked about that, you know, he had mentioned that he said he could be my son, but he said the fact is he could have been me 35 years ago, and he talked about his own experiences in a really personal way. The president.
As difficult and challenging as this whole episode has been for a lot of people, I don't want us to lose sight that things are getting better. Each successive generation seems to be making progress in changing attitudes when it comes to race. Doesn't mean we're in a post-racial society. It doesn't mean that racism is eliminated. But, you know, when I talk to Malia and Sasha, and I listen to their friends and I see them interact, they're better than we are. They're better than we were on these issues. And that's true in every community that I've visited all across the country.
He said, he concluded that Americans should have confidence that these kids these days have more sense than we did back then, certainly more than our parents did, than our grandparents did, and along this long, difficult journey, not a perfect union, but a more perfect union.
And Sean Hannity's response was that, yeah, well, you're blowing pot.
Well, listener Paula points out that George W. Bush smoked a little pot and did a little blow.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot.
He must
allegedly
have met George W. Bush. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's
sure.
What he meant.
Sure. He just misspoke.
I can't believe they let him fly an F-102 when he was already high before he left the ground.
Yeah. President Obama also said the missing context in discussions about the criminal justice system contributes, I think, to a sense that if a white male teen was involved in the same kind of scenario from top to bottom, both the outcome and the aftermath might have been different.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding. I said this on whatever it was, like CNN a week or two ago, you mm-hmm. know? I'm like, give me a break. This is a white frat kid from University of Miami. Anyone thinks this would have gone down the same way?
You were prescient.
Thank you. And I also was psychic. Okay. President.
Reasonable doubt was relevant, and they rendered a verdict. And once the jury's spoken, that's how our system works.
In this case, badly.
Yeah.
Okay. One more time.
If I see any violence, then I will remind folks that that dishonors what happened to Trayvon Martin and his family.
Steve in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes,
hi, Steve.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
Watch it every morning.
Thank
Can't
you.
Get out of the house without watching your show.
Uh-oh.
Good.
Yes, I was a young man many, many years ago. I worked for the New York Stock Exchange, and I was, uh-huh. I lived on West 71st Street. I had picked up my cleaning and groceries from across the street and went into a drugstore, and I was smoking a pipe at the time. And I put my groceries and my cleaning down, and I'm in a suit and a tie. I put my pipe in my pocket. Elderly white gentleman came running from around the counter, stuck his hand in my pocket to see what I had stolen.
Really?
Wow.
I mean, I was mortified. He handed a pipe. He says, oh, I'm so sorry. I just took my pipe, put it back in my pocket, picked up my cleaning, picked up my groceries, and walked out of the store. Because I knew if I stood there, I may have slapped the bejeebies out of this old man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't want
to
go to jail.
Well, Steve, and it's not even generational. I was listening to a kid being interviewed that was at one of the Trayvon protests. And, you know, he was talking about he and his class just did a tour of the Hershey factory. Guy following him turned around. He said, "What are you stealing? Are you have candy in your pockets?" And until his teacher said, "Leave him alone," he hasn't done anything. And you go, "This is not something that happened 20 years ago, right? For some people, it's 20 minutes ago."
Exactly. Exactly.
Are you sure this is your dry cleaning?
Hello. I mean, it was unbelievable. I was just mortified.
I mean, how many people steal other people's clothes without at least trying them on first to make sure it's a good fit?
Oh, you right. bought white bread at the grocery. Sure. I'm buying that.
Thank you for making me part of your morning ritual. Shower, shave, and stuff. It's the four S's.
Yes.
Like I say, I can't get up. My day can't start without me watching your show.
Thank you, honey.
Yay.
Appreciate it. All right. Yay. There you go. That's a new promo.
We can't brush heads like we used to.
Shower, shave, Steph. Yay! It's a fourth S that has
sure.
been added to your morning ritual.
Yes.
Thank you. Glenda in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Glenda.
Hello, Miss Steph. How is your
Good.
Lovely self today?
I'm just doing fine. Go ahead.
I would just like to say two things, ma'am. First of all, white America's perception of black America is tainted because all of the negative hype that a lot of media channels give to black crime. And second of all, I wanted to tell you that my daughter and I was school shopping at one of the clothing stores, and this lady followed me around waiting for me to steal something while I followed two white teenagers around and watched them take everything that they laid their eyes on.
Wow.
Oy, God. Yeah, I guess that's how they missed that. They were too busy watching you. Oy vey. Oy vey is my point.
Yes.
All right. when we come back, nastiest conservative responses to Obama's Trayvon speech.
Uh-oh.
You can almost predict them. And yet.
Are they worse than Hannity's?
And it's worse than you might even imagine. Okay,
God.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Genius.
Hey, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, dear God, we're still on Royal Baby Watch, everybody.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. The queen says she's going to do the cesarean by hand. She doesn't hurry.
If the baby does not pay his taste by this after lunch, right, I shall perform the cesarean myself.
Yeah, she has a thing with the corgis later. She can be waiting around all day.
Well, they're saying that Catherine is going to be having a cesarean anyway because she's too posh to push.
Posh to push.
Of course she is. That's awesome. Okay. What is not awesome about that? All right. The president, one more time on Friday, talking about the Trayvon Martin.
I think it'd be useful for us to examine some state and local laws.
John McCain agrees with the president? With the burn? The president. He does think it's all states, including his own, should review their stand your ground laws. We have John McCain.
I think that yes, I do, and I'm confident that the members of the Arizona legislature will, and because it is a very controversial legislation.
He said, I can also see the stand your ground law. Maybe something needs to be reviewed by the Florida legislature or any other legislature. He also praised President Obama's speech about Trayvon Martin and the racial profiling that black men regularly face. He said, events like this highlight and emphasize that we have a long way to go. The president very appropriately highlighted a lot of that yesterday, as only the president can. Wow! What has happened to John McCain?
What has he done with John McCain?
Oh, don't worry. By this afternoon, he'll be the old crotchety John McCain. So.
Shut the policy. Yeah, shut the policy in Syria!
Okay, sorry.
Gosh,
he'll be, you know, colluding with kidnappers and terrorists in Syria by afternoon, so don't worry.
Pull my finger. Yeah. No, don't cut it off. Don't. Ow! Okay. Nastiest, would you like some the fun facts on...
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know why. Even, like, before he had seven words out of his mouth, I thought, oh, the right-wing Twitterverse. Let's see. It doesn't matter who does it. It doesn't matter who. I don't even know who these half of them people are.
Yeah.
Obama has no business stating the states need to look at their laws and redo them if necessary. It sounds like he's trying to riot. Yeah, that was pretty much the substance of his remarks. He was encouraging people to riot.
Yeah.
In fact, I think we played somebody said the opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I encourage peaceful. Okay.
We have that.
Oh, sure. Let's hear it again.
If I see any violence, then I will remind folks that that dishonors what happened to Trayvon Martin and his family.
See, the telling code people
was,
to riot.
The code was riot.
Because it's a code that only black people understand.
Right.
That's what
it's
it was.
It's like holding a bubblegum wrapper up to a mirror to find out what he really meant was,
Chuckers.
I encourage you to riot.
What bubblegum wrapper did you hold up to a mirror?
It's a thing in the 70s. People know what I'm talking about.
Are you talking bazooka wrapper? Bazooka Joe?
Right. Yeah.
There was nothing...
There was the hidden message. You had to hold it up to a mirror to read the... Leave me alone.
I ate bazooka gum in the 70s, and I don't remember ever doing that.
Well, you're mistaken. Okay. Stop beating around the bush, Obama. Just say it already. Get out there and riot. Do not let this die. He'll be milking this forever.
What an idiot.
Maddie, somebody. Maddie, somebody, who cares? If Obama had a city, it would look just like Detroit. By the way, morons.
Detroit looks that way because of Republicans.
Detroit, the city, is different than the auto industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because, by the way, this is another little fun fact for you. The president actually doesn't, you know, do the accounting and the books for the city of Detroit.
No.
He's not really involved in the city government.
Huh.
Okay.
Amazing.
Someone named Bob tweets, Barack Obama and Eric Holder just want to run a Klan with a tan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's clever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon wasn't subtle enough for Barack Obama. Now he's openly race-baiting the Hispanic guy. What? Again, that was the whole point, I think, of his remarks on Friday, is Hispanic guys suck. I think that's pretty much what he...
That's exactly what he said.
Hispanic guys like George Zimmerman?
What now? Uh-huh. Okay. If you ever, somebody named Dan writes, if you ever had any doubts, Obama is the first racist in chief. Okay, someone named John writes, I like living in a country where a black president elected twice complains about racism. Right. Hey, John, here's a thought. Sometimes two things can be true at the same time, that we've elected a black president twice, and there's still racism.
Yeah. And you're and yet, exhibit A.
Yeah. And yet, there's still morons.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
and we've elected morons, George Bush, and yet we have not eradicated moronism, have we? No. Oh, dear. That was gratuitous.
That was.
Though true.
I like toast.
So now Obama claims he could have been Trayvon 35 years ago. Well, we know they both were potheads. Someone named Jammy.
George W. Bush was a renowned drug user.
Yes.
Especially the Peruvian marching powder.
My name's Jammy. I'm a right-wing blogger. Todd Starnes of the Fox News writes up.
Yeah, him.
President Obama is now our race baiter in chief. His remarks on the Trayvon Martin tragedy today are beyond reprehensible.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh, my
Because
God.
You mentioned race, that makes it beyond reprehensible.
Right. Reprehensible.
Wow.
Okay. Lois in Pittsburgh. Wow. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Lois.
Yeah, hey, Stephanie Mooks. This is on Tavis Smiley. You know, he, Cornel West, and what's the guy in Congress who's doing all these hearings?
Daryl Issa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they're triplets. I mean, before this man took the oath of office, they were criticizing his performance, something that hadn't happened yet. I'm like, how do you criticize somebody on something that they may or may not do in the future? And with Tavis Smiley, he was raised in the church in an abusive way.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book on that. And it's like this is coming back. It's like no matter what the president does, and I think people should critique our president.
Right.
You know, honestly critique him. But not on this crazy stuff about he's leading from behind on Trayvon Martin. Should he have seen that this young man would have been shot before it happened? And it's, I just think Tavis is his own worst enemy.
Yeah, but Lois, we can predict this stuff from the right wing, you know, on anything the president says, but it's just, I sort of don't get that, because if you listen to, he's always criticized him for everything. Like, it's, you know, the president is never saying enough about race. He's never, and I think that it is a fine line, don't you? I mean, the president, I think he gave that one speech that I thought was amazing about race. Like, what do they want him to do, start every press conference with, by the way, I'm black? You know?
Yeah, and as president, you've got a certain job to do. You're the leader, according to all of us, of the free world.
Right.
So if he didn't even address...
Yeah, he's got other stuff to do. His entire job is not to talk about race, you know? It's like
Well, if he showed up wearing bling, singing, dang, it's good to be a gangster, that'd be a bit far, I think.
Right, right.
That's Office Space.
Yes.
Although I hope he does do a gangsta mic drop when he leaves office.
That'd be fun.
Bam! Save the economy. Auto industry. Bam! See ya!
Get a gold tooth. You know, just really rub it in.
Yeah, and then he just smiles at camera. Cling! Suckers.
Look like Chris Rock in CB4.
Yeah.
Hal in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Hal.
Hi, Stephanie. Good show.
Thank you.
I want to say about Zimmerman, I think he'd made up his mind to shoot him before he got out of the car. And he said, I'll be a cop by in the morning. Once I shoot him, I'll be a cop.
Yeah.
And one other thing on the election next year, the Republicans think they're going to... Pardon me?
I was going to say, by the way, how when you see him, you know, going through the, doing a crime scene thing with the cops, you can tell, like, he feels like he's doing a training video for the cops. It's, you know, I walked over here. And
here's how it's done.
Yeah. It's like, whatever, big man. Gerald, excuse me, in Indianapolis. Hello, Gerald. Yes.
Thank you for accepting my call. But I just wanted to make a comment. One thing for sure is we'll never get to the bottom of all of this until everyone starts working together. And it's going to take a while. But the thing I want to bring to light is I heard where they were on the news they would be saying that they were expecting black people to riot and everything. But I never heard anyone say anything about what the right wing was putting on the internet about what they were going to do to black people had the verdict went the other way.
Right. Yeah. Nobody warned white people not to riot if Zimmerman was convicted, right? I mean, it's some people, I think, the bottom line, some people are always expecting black people to riot.
Sure.
Fox News, talking to you. Raymond in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Raymond.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. My call was simply a question. I've heard so many times about Zimmerman having a concealed carry license. How did this man, who had a protection order from an older girlfriend,
right?
He had assaulted a police officer. I have a permit, and I know that with any of that on your record, you cannot get it.
Yep.
Hmm. What, who pulls strings for this guy?
That, yeah. Look, right, his daddy's a judge. Who knows? But it's one of the many questions I've heard asked that I don't know what the answer is to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that he's, to me, is a perfect like poster boy for who should not have a gun for a number of reasons. Anyway, all right, 45 minutes after the hour. Lots more on this. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Pull over. Your DWL. Driving while laughing. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Girl. 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 Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Come on. Get it.
I just burped. I don't know if that microphone was on. Oops.
I think I did,
Oops. 49. That was Jim and I, everybody. Okay, 49 minutes after the hour. I forgot there's so many mics here. Not just this one. Oh, Snoopy, Snoopy, Snoopy. Welcome to our new NSA world. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, by the way, we are on Royal Baby Watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mo Rocca tweeted, when they tie the umbilical cord, will they use a Windsor knot?
Hey! It's a House of Windsor.
Hey, that's comedy.
Oh, Mo. All right. Representative Marsha Fudge, Democrat of Ohio, yesterday.
I don't care how many laws you put in place. You cannot legislate against prejudice or bias or racism. You cannot do it.
By the way, so a great piece in the Daily Beast at Trayvon Rally. Sabrina Fulton shows quiet strength. Yeah. She has been awesome. She really has. They write, Michael Daly in the Daily Beast writes, as vigils swelled across the country, Trayvon Martin's mother stood in front of hundreds and said she was only beginning her fight to save the next victim from her son's fate. A bullet forever keeps us from knowing what Trayvon Martin might have grown up to become, but the maternal magnificence of his making was unmistakable as his mother stood in the broiling sun to address the vigil in New York on Saturday. She said, Trayvon is not here to speak for himself. Trayvon was a child. I think sometimes that gets lost. She said it was a child who acted as a child, who thought as a child, and don't take my word, he had a drink and candy. And she said, I promise to work for your child as well. She said, so we changed some of these laws. And the big news was Jay-Z and Beyonce showed up. So a little bit, but they did also, they didn't take the stage, they just watched. They didn't, they said they weren't there to speak or for a photo op. But anyway, all right. And then, of course, there is the little tiny dancer of deception, your good friend, Dana Perino.
When a president speaks, it's to multiple audiences. So from the prism of self-defense, if you think of the young mother whose two-year-old son was shot in the face by the two black teens that approached her in Atlanta, and that baby has died, why do presidents choose to speak about one case and not the other? That's why it's better maybe not to talk about any of them. They chose to talk about this one. I do think that the president was signaling, we're going to have to move on. Good luck on standing ground.
I can think of white person that that President Bush spoke on extensively. Terry Schiavo. He singled out that case in particular over and over again. Mm-hmm. So how dare Dana Perino say something like that?
You have to talk about everyone.
Every
you're
going
to talk about
every single case.
Every single case.
Should just be like a crime.
Just a blast.
Okay. Ooh, I think the bloom is off the Dana Perino rose for Jim. Robert in Albuquerque. Hey, Robert.
You know, the response that I was hearing this weekend from the right-wing conservatives, mostly white, was that they just don't want to talk about it. They say, let's stop talking about it.
Yeah, let's move on.
And let's move on. Let's not talk about it. And you know, the thing is, you know what? You want me to tell you what the the greatest races. It's when we go interracial. I mean, let's look at the Royals. If they hadn't jumped the royal fence once or twice, they'd be drowning in their own hemophilia right now. So let's be honest about this. We the most beautiful people are interracial people, man. And actually the strongest genetically are the interracial people.
Well, things
so,
like
Tay-Sachs
and sickle highest, cell.
Exactly. Highest praise indeed, you know, to our president for wanting to have an honest discussion about race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's purebred dogs that have the most health problems.
That's right.
Those mutts just go, they keep going and going.
They certainly do.
I'm a mutt.
Are you?
Yeah. Irish, German, Polish. Okay, let's go to
Irish, German, Welsh, and something else, Corgi. And American Indian. So.
Right, awesome. Patricia in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I was calling because racial profiling hasn't just begun, and because it seems as though because the president stated that he had racial profiling or had been through it before he became the senator, it's all of a sudden now on the news, and it's important. It's been going through. This has been going on for forever, and I just wanted to know why all of a sudden now it's taken so seriously. It's sad that it took a young black man's life for it to come up, you know, come to this. Though it's just sad. It really is. This is nothing new in the African American community.
Right, but Patricia, I think every now and again there's a case like this that I think is so sort of egregious that resonates with so many people, and that's why you see these, you know, I think these protests all over the country, because this is something that's really, as the president said, has resonated with black people that have had very similar experiences, you know, and could very easily be Trayvon. I mean, that's where that came from, right?
We have. It just seems as though it hasn't been this publicized. It has never been publicized like this until President Barack Obama stated that it happened to him.
Right.
And now it seems like everybody's in shock that something like this is going on.
Yeah. Well, exactly. That's the shock, is it shouldn't be a shock. But, you know, that's why I'm glad the president spoke out. I thought it was extraordinary and personal in a way that we obviously have never had in our history. Mm-hmm. So let's go to Lisa in Houston. Hey, Lisa, welcome.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Okay, I wanted to kind of touch bases on two things, but one is the Tavis Smiley. Let's clear this up. Everybody in the African-American community knows what happened between Tavis and Cornel West and the president. It went from the president not being able to attend these think tanks that Tavis has been doing for 15 years, and nothing's ever come out of it but him selling a book. And Cornel West, and when the president was inaugurated, they had probably bragged to their friends or family members or something about how many tickets they could get for the inauguration. That's how silly this is. And they couldn't get the tickets. So from that day forward, they have decided that they're going to bring him down. And there are a couple of black caucus members, we know this in the black community, that also was against this president because Hillary had told them the positions that she was going to get them in. They bragged to people about it. And when she didn't get it, they've not forgotten that yet. So anything this man does, they slip and they whisper and they go on. But we call those crabs in a bucket. And we all know about them.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know.
No, Lisa, I think I've sensed that a couple of people. I feel like there's a, you know, it's just a whiff of jealousy or whatever.
That's all it is. The pot is boiling, and they see the crab. They see the president getting out of that pot. Instead of them grabbing his hand and coming on out, they trying to pull him back in, and the water just boiling, and they sitting there being boiled crab.
Lisa, can I tell you the bucket of crabs analogy is the best one I've heard lately.
We call them crabs. It's like, come on, man, I'm getting out the pot, and y'all sitting here going to boil to death, but don't want me to get out the pot. This is the first African-American. You know what?
You know, I think of the mooks are like my crabs. That's what this is every morning.
You know what I thought about, guys? If only we, now, when you remember when O.J. Simpson and the Goldman thing, you know, white America still mad about that. I don't think black America really understood because nobody came out and said, this is what we feel about that. So this time to have him come out and say, no, this is why African-Americans feel so strongly about this, is making it easy for people to say, okay, now I see. I don't think it was divisiveness, and I think he did it just right.
Right. Yep, I hear you. All right. What do you think, crabs? Yeah, see, just when I'm about to get out, one of you grows another claw and pulls me back down again.
Clack, 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 clack. I think you're the one pulling us down.
Who are you? Three in Minneapolis.
Hello.
This is a boiling bucket of crabs every morning. Hi, Sri.
Hi, Stephanie. Hello, everybody.
Hi. Go ahead.
So I just had to point out, I mean, outside of the verdict, which I think was just a travesty and completely crooked on George Zimmerman, was the complete callousness, like this callousness that was demonstrated by the defense and everyone that supports it. I mean, you know, you have Don West beginning his case with a joke right in front of the victim's family. You have that horrible tweet by his daughter. You have O'Mara's glib insistence that the Martins had no right to seek justice for themselves.
Yeah, and then spiking the football at the press conference afterwards. Like, that was necessary. All right, right back with Eric Bollard as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. By the way, Jim read an email from someone. It was a good point about Dana Perino saying, why didn't the president talk about the white baby that was shot in the face by the black teenagers? And someone said, well, when the teenagers get off, like George Zimmerman did, and that's the, I mean, there's many reasons why this is, you know.
Well, they shot the baby because they were standing on the ground. Okay. All right. Done.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously the president can't talk about every case, but exactly.
Why didn't he talk about every case of everyone who's ever killed, ever?
Right, exactly. So the point is because George Zimmerman got off and a lot of people thought that was unfair is why the president commented on it.
Right.
Nobody's saying it's not a horrible thing. It was they robbed the mother and shot the baby, and it's horrible, and they're... As far as I know, I don't know if they've been convicted, but...
They will be.
They're in the process of being convicted.
Yeah, which, as they should.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, that's all right. Hey, guess what? It's Monday, everybody. You know what that means. It's a time where Chris forgets to do what he's supposed to do. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America. Crab in a crab bucket.
Eric Bollard.
Pulling you down.
Yeah, pulling me down. Drag me down.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
Well, we've obviously been talking about it already. We already went through the right-wing Twitterverse on the worst, nastiest reactions to the president's extraordinary speech. You tweeted, as the right-wing unleashes turbo race-baiting today, recall and chuckle that minority outreach was a key point raised by the 2012 GOP autopsy. Hashtag good luck.
Just in March. Remember the report came out and said, boy, you know, demographics are shifting. Republicans, if they want to be serious contenders in national elections, these are the things they have to do. You know, strong emphasis on immigration, while the House Republicans now try, you know, stand set to kill immigration reform. That was the hallmark of this autopsy. We've got to pass immigration reform. We have to get Hispanic and Latino voters to pay attention to us. And the subset was that we've got to do a better job reaching out to minorities and African Americans. And you know, I think it was Juan Cole who tweeted, they're not going to be happy until Democrats get 100% of the African American vote based on this just, you know, race baiting in the wake of the verdict and the wake of Obama's comments. So, you know, good luck with the rebranding. Good luck with trying to reach out to non-Fox viewers. And here's another thing. So you mentioned, you know, why doesn't Obama talk about other gun violence? Why is he obsessed with Trayvon Martin? You know, after Newtown and in January, he talked about gun violence. He talked about Chicago gun violence, and the right-wing media told him to shut up about gun violence in America. It's none of his business.
Yeah.
Why is he talking about it?
Yeah. Can't win. Cannot win. I loved your other tweet. No joke. Twitter cons actually think the city of Detroit claiming bankruptcy means the bailout of Detroit auto business was a failure. Hashtag so awesome.
So this is a classic example of crazy or stupid. So do they actually think the bailout of Detroit, which has been the shorthand for the auto industry for 85 years, did they actually think that bailout of Detroit meant the city, or are they just being obtuse and stupid and trying to make a point?
The president, of course, is the city comptroller of Detroit, as we know.
But you wouldn't believe, you know, the hundreds of crazy right-wing Twitter people who were yelling at me all weekend about how Obama failed to save the auto bailout, failed to save the city of Detroit. They actually think this financing for GM and Chrysler was somehow going to the Board of Ed or something. And again, you step back and you're like, are you this stupid or you're just sort of playing games? And then, so it's not just people on Twitter, but, you know, you've got right-wing media. So, like, are you professionally dumb for a living, or do you not understand when people talk about Hollywood, they're not actually talking about the city outside Los Angeles. They're talking about an industry. When you talk about Detroit, you're talking about the auto industry. So,
I thought that topic highlighted.
And that was
Sunset.
Our favorite thing when didn't Iran say they were going to sue Hollywood? We're like, oh, well, yes. Let me get the lawyer for Hollywood on the phone for her. great piece, obviously, that you Trayvon Martin and why the right-wing media spent 16 months smearing a dead teenager. And, of course, it does not stop. Interestingly, you bring up a Geraldo Rivera, which I don't know if you saw the Twitter picture at 1 a.m. of a nearly naked Geraldo, but it's going to be hard to scrub that. I would prefer he'd been dressed like a thug or anything, frankly. But that really was in the low bar that this case set, Eric. You know, you point out, he said, you dress like a thug, people are going to treat you like a thug. Obviously implying, I guess, Trayvon had it coming because he was...
Oh, absolutely. That was the theme. It was originally concocted in March of 2012 to try to move the attention away from the shooting, from staying your ground, from concealed weapons. And the right-wing media decided they were going to tell the truth about Trayvon Martin. And he wasn't this... innocent young kid that was being portrayed. And so they came up with phony pictures of him from Facebook and spread them around. Yeah. Started talking about he was a drug dealer. Glenn Beck's The Blaze published a piece suggesting, well, maybe he was a kidnapper, an arsonist, or a murderer. So it was just classic blame the victim. Just, he's dead. This is a problem for the gun community. We'll blame the dead kid. So, and then they resurrected it after the verdict, and it's gone beyond that. Ben Shapiro at Breitbart wrote a column last week saying the fact that Trayvon Martin came from a broken home was, quote, a factor in his death. So now his parents are to blame for their unarmed teenager getting shot. It's just really awful, sort of immoral. An attempt to spin away and blame
and
dead
missed
teenagers.
Geraldo, I missed this one. You said that he claimed the all-female jury, quote-unquote, would have shot and killed Trayvon Martin a lot sooner than George Zimmerman did.
Wow.
Nice.
Nice. You write, there's something spectacularly misguided about wanting to turn an unarmed shooting victim, an unarmed minor, into the bad guy and blame him for walking home with Skittles and an iced tea, but that's what conservatives in the press have been doing on and off for nearly a year and a half now. You quote a good Kevin Drum at Mother Jones. You say, there's no special conservative principle at stake that says neighborhood watch captains should be able to shoot anyone who looks suspicious. There's no special conservative principle at stake that says local police forces should barely pretend to investigate the circumstances of a shooting. There's no special conservative principle at stake that says young black men shouldn't wear hoodies. And I guess your point is that they didn't even get involved in this early on, right? The right
way. Yeah. If you go back and look at the very early, the story sort of emerged March of 2012 slowly and it sort of gained momentum. And in mid-March last year, right-wing blogs weren't writing about it. Fox News didn't care about this story. So it wasn't like it hit a nerve with them early on. It was only when it became clear it was going to become a problem for the gun lobby. It was going to become a problem for people who want to carry concealed weapons. It was only when Obama was asked a direct question at a Rose Garden press availability in late March. And once Obama says anything about anything, that unleashes the hounds. And then Obama derangement syndrome. And so, as I quoted someone saying, once it became, quote, a Democratic issue to care about this case, the right-wing media decided it was all fair games, and the dead kid was fair games, and his family and his parents and all of it. But the reason I quoted Kevin Drum was because I've always wondered, you know, why would the right-wing media become so obsessed in a local crime story? Why would they turn George Zimmerman into a folk hero? I understood why civil rights leaders would be interested in you know, certainly had concerns about racial injustice and things like that. But why this, you know, became sort of this complete obsession with attacking the victim and supporting George Zimmerman. And a lot of it had to do with guns, and a lot of it had to do with the absolute right-wing talking point that racism doesn't exist, and if you suggest it does, therefore it becomes a hoax, and it's their job to reveal the true hoax. So it touched on a lot of issues, but again, it's strange for the political partisan press, which usually deals with politics and elections, to become so consumed in a local crime story.
And you talk about what we were mentioning earlier. I mean, it really has reached the level of, you know, the fake photo. It's this photo that's going around that's not Trayvon. That the point is supposed to be, oh, he really was a thug that looked like this, and the media hid this from you, right?
Yeah, it was all media bias.
Wait a minute, that's Mike Tyson. What?
I know.
And so there was a photo on Facebook that was passed around that wasn't him. There was an argument on the right-wing blogs that the photo that a lot of the press used of him had been lightened to make him look less dangerous. And all of this became a secondary
Which
attempt.
Let's skip over the inherent racism in that. The darker you are,
exactly.
The more dangerous
exactly.
you are. Right.
They're not particularly self-aware when it comes to that, the whole topic. But all of that, was an attempt to just say, you know, it was an attempt to say this case, all of it, blaming the victim, media bias, all that stuff, was an attempt to say this case doesn't matter, he doesn't matter, the story's not important, and we shouldn't pay attention to it, and here's why, because we're going to tell you this kid was really just a thug who deserved it. And the fact that Obama became involved only upset them more. And what we've seen more recently, again, is, you know, first last year was this case doesn't matter, it's not really racial injustice. Now, in the wake of the verdict, it was this case doesn't matter because, you know, young black people are being killed in Chicago. And so how come we're not paying attention to Chicago? But as I stated at the beginning, when people like Obama talk about gun violence in Chicago, right-wing media tells them to shut up. Because, you know, we don't want to hear about gun violence. And why are you poking your nose into local crime and things like that?
It seems to me, Eric, the Second Amendment crowd picked a pretty shaky hero in George Zimmerman, frankly. And someone pointed out on the Sunday show, same thing we did last week, is that, well, you don't hear the NRA saying if Trayvon would have been armed, this would have been better, right?
No. The NRA has historically had no interest in arming minorities in America, and it never becomes a talking point. And you're right. The first point, in terms of picking a very shaky sort of folk hero. And again, they realized that early on. You know, there was no real good way to spin this for the NRA and the concealment weapons. This was sort of their worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. This is what critics of Stand Your Ground legislation was pending claim. This is exactly what they feared. So this was the worst case scenario for the NRA. So the reaction was, their allies in the press was, let's blame the dead kid. Let's make him look like he deserved it.
Let's do character assassination. Right. You could imagine behind closed doors and going, oh, thank God it was a black teenager, a black kid, right? And not, you know, a rich white frat guy from the University of Miami or
right.
You know, this really would have been a, you know, storm, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, the optics were not good. And that's what I think sort of shifted in the right-wing media into this hyper smear campaign that they've been running on and off for over a year now. And I also tweeted last night, again, when Obama talked about the Trayvon case and just the guttural reaction to it and the guttural hate that we've seen, the race baiting. You imagine if Zimmerman had been found guilty, what we would be dealing with right now. I mean, you know, I put hashtag Fox News riots. I mean, I think there really probably would be. I mean, if you talk about violence and this pseudo fear of violence in the wake of the Zimmerman trial, based on what I'm seeing, there absolutely, that would be a far greater fear. I mean, the fact that they're this angry at a not guilty verdict, I sort of shudder to think what would have happened if the opposite had been true.
Oh, my God. One can only imagine what would happen to Gretchen Carlson's hair if there were a Fox News riot. It's a tragedy. All right, Eric, great stuff as always. Talk to you next week.
Okay, talk to you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Ooh, he stayed on with
he
me.
He did.
20 minutes. Wow. Ooh, he's starting to like me.
I think he walked away from the phone.
Ooh.
He wants to date you.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
He's going to go back to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Travis Bone. We're just irritating him on purpose this morning. Every time I print something, what do?
Mr. Man!
Man!
Can you bring it in?
Bring in the thing from the printer. All right, in this case, it's this thing. Oh, Ohio Gun Group, we're buying Zimmerman a new gun. Isn't that nice?
Oh, that's sweet.
Nice. Perfect. Yeah, he'll be an even better Second Amendment hero when he shoots someone else.
If he
felt threatened before, and now he's talking about really how threatened and paranoid he feels because of the... Yeah. Uh-huh.
But he's getting the old gun back, so why does he need a new gun?
And Ohio Gun Group soliciting donations to provide Zimmerman, who has no current source of income.
Guess that whole cop thing didn't work out.
Yeah, I guess not. With the funds he needs to replace his firearm, holster, and other gear. Citing a news report indicating that the U.S. Department of Justice asked police to keep possession of all the evidence from George Zimmerman's second-degree murder trial, most likely so they can use that evidence in conducting a federal investigation.
Yeah.
Into Martin. They just want to hurry up and get him shooting again. I mean, come on, that's the most important thing here.
He hasn't shot anyone in months. Come on.
God's sakes, really? What was I going to say? Oh, by the way, I thought Eric Holder had a really good point about the stand your ground laws, too. I don't know. He was talking about why fix something that's not broken. What is wrong with self-defense laws the way they were?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
This is like a ridiculous, kill your only witness law, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't... Anyway.
If you feel oogie about someone, you have a right to kill them.
Right. What could go wrong there? Yessie in Jacksonville, Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Yessie.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
I just kind of wanted to bring up a point. The right wing is always talking about riots. There's going to be these riots and riots everywhere. And kind of the way that we took Obamacare away from them, I would like to riot in the polls. I want us to get out and riot and vote because it's important. And I live in Jacksonville,
Let's have
Florida,
a vote riot.
And,
you're right. I like
it. We need to get out. We need to remember not just Trayvon Martin, but Jordan Davis. His trial is starting soon, and I can't even go to that side of town anymore because people are crazy. And I guess that's my only point. I really want people to vote because it's important. And when we don't, Alec comes in, these laws get passed, and this craziness happens. It's the wild, wild west here in Florida. Yeah. I'm not a gun owner. I don't have a problem with gun owners, but I'm starting to feel like my state is forcing me to buy a gun. Because I could be walking down the street. I could be doing anything, and somebody thinks that I don't have the right to be there.
That's what it seems like, Jesse. They want the Wild West. They want, everybody walking down the street packing, just, so it's just a shootout.
The OK Corral. Lot about gun control.
Yeah.
They didn't allow.
And they had rules. You
guns.
Had to walk 10 paces before you shot.
Right. Yeah. And you had to leave your guns.
That was a little bit of a cooling off period.
Yes.
Those
exactly.
10 paces.
Mm-hmm. Had to wait for the barroom doors to stop swinging before you had to wait for the tumbleweed to go by. Right.
Sure.
Then faraway dog.
That tumbleweed is slow. Forget it. I'm not even mad anymore.
And that broken down old whore with her. cigarette hanging from it.
I thought you were talking about me.
No.
Usually,
would be talking. Tattered red velvet dress, cigarette hanging from it.
Forget it. That tumbleweed took too long. Let's just go do the broken down old whore again. Let's grab some shots, whiskey. by the way, speaking of other cases, this horrible case out here, this limo caught on fire.
In San Mateo?
Yeah. And the women all died in the back. The estranged wife of the limo driver who was behind the wheel when the fire in the vehicle killed five women celebrating a wedding, said he'd been arguing with her on the phone moments before the blaze. She said during their shouting match, he turned up the music in the limo so the passengers couldn't hear the conversation. She said the music was really loud. I kept yelling, I can't hear you, turn it down. I said, you're not paying attention, you know, like, get off the phone, stop calling me. And they're speculating that's why he didn't hear the women crying, unlock the doors in the back.
And there should be more doors on stretch limos, and he should be able to unlock them.
Yes.
So the driver is not your jailer as well. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yay! Yes, your queen is back.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of the queen, how are we doing on Royal Baby Watch? What's happening? What's happening? Is there a baby
yet? We are not amused.
We are not amused by how long she's taking to push it out. Oh, she's not going to push because she is...
Too posh to push.
Too posh to push.
She's going to be a cesarean is what we're told.
Well, we don't know. We're assuming that she's too posh to
push. How can she be in labor if she's a Tory?
Yay! Oh, British humor.
Wow.
Right, 1-800.
British political humor.
Wow. 1-800 Z. Ain't no Benny Hill there. That was smart. 1-800 Steph 1-2.
We didn't make that a Benny Hill joke.
There,
There we go. Now it's a Benny Hill joke.
Okay. British humor, in my opinion, sometimes dumb.
Just bring in a couple of juggy blondes and run around just jiggling.
Look at them jiggle. Oh, my. All right. Damien in Johnstown, Pennsylvania writes, Steph, I heard about that gun group buying George Zimmerman a new gun. It made me wonder, all these Second Amendment advocates, people who are talking about law-abiding citizens having guns for protection, why aren't they coming to Marissa Alexander's aid? What is it about her that makes her unworthy of such support? I wonder if it could be, in case you haven't noticed, she's black. Yeah, in case you haven't heard...
Oh, my goodness, he's black.
In case you haven't seen the story on TV, she's the black woman who was her abusive husband.
Right.
And she was trying to get him out of the house, and she fired a shot into the ceiling.
Yeah.
Didn't hit him, didn't hit anybody. She's in jail for 20 years. Yeah.
And Zimmerman's a hero.
Yeah.
For shooting an unarmed kid.
Yeah, and killing him, by the way. Yeah. Rod in South Bend, Indiana. Go touchdown, Jesus. Hello, Rod.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Oh, is she?
Yes, go ahead, Rod.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to put my own observation in on the Trayvon situation. After further review, George Zimmerman followed or stalked Trayvon. He baited him, terrorized him, and murdered him. Case closed. I mean, it wasn't even a miscarriage of justice. It was no justice at all.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, no justice, no peace, in my opinion. I'm not encouraging rioting.
No.
Stop it.
What?
Are you going to make a nose whistle joke? Stop it. Sometimes we startle people out of a nap before they're ready. They didn't know I was going to get to them that quick.
He sounded like Herbert the Pervert from Family Guy.
What? Stop it. There you got something to say. Rita in Florida. Hi, Rita. Go ahead.
Hi. I watch the Sunday news shows every Sunday.
Yep.
I'm not watching it anymore. All they want is a riot. I'm proud of the youths of America.
Yeah. I you know what? I thought a lot of those rallies, I thought they were very powerful. And a lot of because a lot of the kids there, you could tell, relayed. They related to that they could have been Trayvon.
Sure.
As the president said. I mean, that's why it was so powerful what the president said on Friday. Here he is, the president, on Friday.
When Trayvon Martin was first shot, I said that this could have been my son. Another way of saying that is Trayvon Martin could have been me 35 years ago.
By the way, did you see Boner? Congress ought to be judged on how many laws we repeal, not how many laws.
Idiot.
It's not what we do. It's how much we undo. That's the important thing. Here he is.
We should not be judged on how many new laws we create.
No.
We ought to be judged on how many laws that we repeal.
Yeah.
Sometimes, American people don't like this mess.
So we're just gonna. I don't like this mess.
You mean the mess you're in charge of?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, here's something else he's not getting done. Boner refuses to take a stand on key immigration provision. Yeah, why would you? Why would you? He refused yesterday to say whether comprehensive immigration reform should include a path to citizenship, declaring the House of it's not about me. He says it's not about me, it's not about what I want. This is about allowing the House to work its will, which is, as he just stated previously, nothing. To do nothing.
Yeah.
Or to
repeal everything.
Or undo everything that has been done.
What are they laws for anyway?
Boner said the sweeping Senate bill would not pass the House and reiterated the House would tackle the issue in chunks. In smaller chunks. Yeah, I'll say.
I just think I'm going to vote.
Yep, little chunks.
Yeah.
He said we want to deal with this in chunks. Chunks that the members can deal with and grapple with. And frankly, chunks the American people can get their arms around.
Little orange chunks.
Corn.
I just think I'm going to vote.
Eat corn.
What?
No,
that's out the other end.
No, so. You can have chunks of corn as well. Let's go to Dave in Buffalo.
Oh.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Mama.
Hello.
In about 25 seconds, I'm going to explain to the right-wingers why liberals and black Americans are upset about this. Juror B37 on show? Don't even care.
Anderson Cooper.
Thank you.
Right.
Basically said, but what he did was not illegal. So when Zimmerman went packing with a pistol, that was not illegal. And when he stalked Trayvon, it was not illegal. And when he shot, confronted, fought, and stood his ground against Trayvon was not illegal, essentially making walking while black
a crime
which mm-hmm. falls right into the stereotypes that America, that the media projects about young black males and females.
Yep.
That they're thugs. And so what is happening is de facto stay on your own side of town because I don't understand your dress, I don't understand your music, I don't understand your language, and if I see you over here, I'm going to use the law to shoot you legally. Now, I think that the DA should have brought different charges on this, reckless endangerment of life, assault with a deadly weapon, et cetera, et cetera. And in this case, unfortunately, it was overcharged because of the stupid laws that the NRA and Eric or whatever it's called,
And Dave, I'm sick of hearing people say, they weren't charged, understand your ground. It was in the jury instructions. It absolutely had something to do with this verdict, right?
Absolutely. And the problem is, I mean, that's what we're all upset about. Is it so that means that they can't come and shop at the shopping malls near dark over in Amherst?
Yeah.
Or in all the little towns down there, which I really don't even care about? That means, you know what I'm saying? And that's why we're upset. It doesn't have anything to do with Zimmerman or even with Trayvon that much, except it was a child in the wrong place at the wrong time, and suddenly it's legal to shoot him.
Dave refers to Amherst as in up the transit from Mama's hometown of Lackport.
Oh, okay.
Amherst, East Amherst, near Cheektowaga, Lackawanna, and Tanawanda.
Okay.
Just translating for all y'all upstate New York impaired. Hello, Julie in California.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
First off, I just want to say that since we're still talking about Trey, I understand why everybody's upset still, but however, the president's speech is a contradiction to what he has said in the past. First, he said justice was served. Now on Friday, he said, stirring the pot, that it could have been him 35 years ago.
He didn't say justice was served, but he said the verdict is spoken and that's how our system works. I mean,
exactly. But as president, he shouldn't say that because he's instigating riots or instigating a ready sense of situation.
He said exactly the opposite. He said exactly the opposite. Where is that soundbite that he said, you know, obviously he was urging people to be peaceful. Here it is. Hang on.
If I see any violence, then I will remind folks that that dishonors what happened to Trayvon Martin and his family.
Wouldn't that be the opposite of encouraging people to riot?
Okay, now I have a question for you.
Okay.
How would you feel about dating a pretty young girl such as myself?
Oh, for God's sakes. All right. What is going on today? I think she just tried to get through as a right winger just to see if he could kiss and date.
Computer says no.
What is happening? Okay. Would you look at what the homosexuals have done to me?
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
Vicki in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Vicki.
Hello, Stephanie.
Go ahead.
I love your show. I just started watching it.
Thank you.
And I make sure my DVR is set, even if I don't get to watch it, but I watch that night.
Aw, awesome. Go ahead.
But Trayvon, before I'm calling about, they keep on calling him a thug and say he's a bad person. If Trayvon had been a thug, Zimmerman probably would have been killed that night because a thug usually carries a gun.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's a caricature. It's a, you know, that they've painted of him. Carolyn in North Carolina. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Tremendously.
Thank you. Go ahead.
These couple of points I'd like to point out. Number one, the president crossed the line and has sounded like he was a racist. This is something he should not have said. And number two...
Why is that?
Why
shouldn't he have said something?
He should have said something, but he should not sound racist doing it.
What did he say that sounded racist to you?
Talking about 35 years ago, it could have been him.
Well, it could have.
It could have. That's true.
Okay, so why is that wrong for him to say?
He sounds racist.
Against himself?
Against anybody, including him.
Okay, but what was done against him possibly 35 years ago and what was done against Trayvon Martin was racist.
I just feel it's racist. I also feel like that the news media...
So mentioning race is in itself racist.
Trayvon, because all it is doing...
Wait, mentioning that you've been racially discriminated against is racist?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. All right, I guess you should just
All right,
about
man.
It.
All right, man. All right, some biscuits and mustard.
That makes no sense.
I am befuddled by that call. And I will need time to recover now.
Some people call it sling blade, some people call it catcher blade.
I think I need to recover with a muffin.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It even vibrates like real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Little ditty about Jack and
Stephanie Miller.
Two American kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be a football star.
Steffi.
Steffi Tom backseat of Jackie's car. Mm-hmm.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. Jackie's Healthcare Corner coming up at the top of the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Just in the name of equality, I will do one men are gross and one women are gross story.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the men,
equal
shall
time.
We? Internet sports pizzeria owner jerking off in the kitchen unleashes a PR hell.
Yeah. In San Diego.
Gawker brings us the story. Yes.
Where Travis just was.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh.
Hmm.
Between that and Comic-Con.
Cheese? Yeah. Be careful you don't ask for extra cheese at any pizzeria in San Diego.
Not the white sauce. Okay.
No.
A pizza shop owner in San Diego in the midst of a PR nightmare after he was allegedly caught on a webcam. Listen, people. We live in an NSA world. Stop whacking off on camera. You cannot get away with it anymore. Caught masturbating inside his pizzeria's kitchen.
Ooh.
It was not long before someone noticed that more than the dough was being needed at Jersey Joe's pizzeria.
Jersey Joe.
And the screen grab of the workplace wanker quickly spread across the social networks,
yeah,
according to Gawker. It has been newly rechristened Jerky Joe's Pizzeria.
Sure, as it would.
Joe's a little jerky. Jerky, jerky, jerky.
Ooh, jerky.
This
no, not
fun.
That kind of jerky.
No. A lot of people took to Yelp to leave rave reviews, praising the owner's hard work and the pizza's distinct nutty flavor. Tastes nutty.
Oh,
not in a good way.
All right. Here's my women are gross story. Oh, boy. A New Mexico man is hoping to identify the jogger who he says has pooped next to his home at least four times since April. This is malicious fecal distribution. So the man, you can see.
Is that a thing?
Also video people. People. NFT? You can't jerk off at work, and you cannot in someone's lawn. There are cameras everywhere.
I saw an older woman sort of squat behind a bus bench a couple days ago. I said, did I just see what I...
Wow. I was in San Francisco over the weekend. I saw that. That happens a lot.
Well,
there.
I lived in New York. Yeah. That's like Tuesday.
Yeah.
So what's happening? Oh, dear God. Okay. On the video, you can see a female jogger turn from the road, enter an alley next to the man's home, run to a wall, and squat.
Oh, boy.
He said, if it happens again, I'm going to run out there with a hose and hose her down and say, bad human.
Did he really say that?
See, maybe you should go before you jog.
I have a confession to make. I have, like a bear, in the woods. Hiking or running. Well, you know, stuff gets jostled around when you're running sometimes. It happens.
And maybe she takes a pre-workout supplement or something that makes things move at the same time every day, and she has to...
Something.
If you think you're about to do that, you shouldn't be taking a jog.
Take a baggie with you. Pooper scooper, God. Something. Okay. Deborah in Portland.
Does she wipe?
Hello.
Hello, Deborah.
Don't take laxatives and go for a jog.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Deborah.
That's okay. What a story to follow. Anyway.
If you do not regularly in your neighbor's yard, it's nothing for you to worry about, Deborah. Go ahead.
Basically, what I'm calling to say is I'm getting really tired of listening to people being afraid of people just because of the color of their skin or how tall they are or the clothes that they wear or whatever. I was on Blair High School campus in Southern California right after the second Rodney King verdict.
Right.
And I was there putting together a fundraiser for the kids. Anyway, I left because the principal said, there's something going on campus. I need you to leave because we need to make sure you're safe. I made a wrong turn. Wound up in an area where I couldn't find the parking lot, and I tapped on the gentleman's shoulder in front of me, and it turned out to be one of the high school teenage, very tall guys, and I said, I turned the wrong way. I don't know where the driveway is or the parking lot is, and he turned around and he goes, he looked at me with this absolutely horrified look on his face, and he said, you should not be here, and he just reached around and he got the attention of some of his friends, and very soon I had a circle of five very tall, very big, very strong guys around me who ushered me to my car and then walked me out of the parking lot following my car.
Wow.
And I told the boys, thank you very much. You are a credit to your parents. And yes, they were five very tall, very wonderful, very caring black gentlemen.
Yeah.
And wow. And there was no reason to be afraid. They were there protecting me.
Yeah.
And they weren't protecting me because out of some sense of whatever, they were just being good kids.
Yep, exactly. Well, you know.
And George Zimmerman shot them.
And as the president said, too, I mean, some of this, you know, the scattered violence there's been in protests, that does not honor Trayvon.
Right.
It's, you know, I mean, that's the thing. That doesn't have anything to do with race. It's just it doesn't serve anybody.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Donna in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Donna.
Hey, Mama. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm a first-time caller, but I have three comments to make. Number one, about the president. Did anybody remember that his mother was white? I think he's talking from what his experiences has been. As a president of the United States, it's important that he let the nation know that, yes, this does happen.
Yeah.
And a lot of reason that he can't get a lot of bills passed is because he is an African-American president.
If he was
a white president sitting where he sits, the majority of the things he's tried to pass would pass.
And, Donna, I've said this many times. Certainly you can't ascribe everything to racism, but there is a level of disrespect, and there is a vein of race that has run through a lot of it. Whether it's, you know, a congressman screaming, you lie at him during the State of the Union. Sarah Palin accusing him of shucking and jiving on Benghazi. Pick anything Ann Coulter says. I mean, come on. You can't say that some of it isn't. You know what's interesting? This last caller, I was just thinking of a story from my past, like years and years ago, and I thought that really is the point. There are obviously good people and bad people of every race.
Right.
That, you know, I hate when people cite, like, the black teenagers that shot the baby. It's like, yes, okay. There's some black people belong in prison. There's some white people belong in prison. George Zimmerman talking to you.
Right.
But anyway, did I ever tell you when I lived in New York the very first time, someone, I got mugged and my bike was stolen while I was riding it, although I got it back. And this was the story. I was in Central Park. I used to ride around Central Park.
Yeah.
And a black kid, like, tackled me off my bike. And I ran and jumped on him. Like, I put a Lawrence Taylor flying tackle on him.
But LT.
Right. But at the same time, a couple of black ladies stopped in their car and got out and helped me and started screaming at him at the top of their lungs to leave me alone. And then he got scared and ran. And so, you know, you can look at that for the prism of race or just go, there's
is that
good
wise
people
to try to tackle him?
No, that was not wise. I could have gotten killed.
Been armed. Yeah, why?
I had just
do
bought
that?
The bike the day before and he was not getting my bike. So, like, he took my bike and I ran and tackled him. And he looked back at me like, you crazy bitch, really? Really? But I held him up long enough until people started screaming at him and then he took off. So it was a happy ending.
It probably wasn't the smartest thing to do.
Mm. No, it was not. He started to go like this, like he might have had a gun or a knife or something. And I was like, yeah, this probably wasn't wise. I probably shouldn't have jumped on top of him. But it was a happy ending. And it was thanks to my two good Samaritan ladies that yelled at him to leave me alone.
And you got your crap back.
I got my bike back. So there.
That's a different story about her riding a bike and laxatives.
Oh.
No, that's a story for a different... Oh, yeah, there was that
same
one
city.
Of those stories, too. Yeah.
Same city.
Yeah, too much seaweed before my bike ride. Yeah, that was another story. Yeah.
And you didn't make it to your apartment.
No.
You only made it as far as your lobby.
Right.
You're like the jogging woman.
At least it was my own lobby. Okay. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Are we still on Royal Baby Watch? What is happening? For God's sakes. Let's go. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there.
CNN has a little screen at the bottom. Just
a little scroll.
Just a screen showing the outside of the hotel.
If she doesn't hurry, you know what that means. I'm going to get bumped for the Royal Baby later. Because I'm usually on Aaron Burnett every night, and then something will happen.
You better pop one out, too.
Right? I better break some other news.
That's right.
We are all amused by the delay.
Exactly.
We are on holiday, after all.
Exactly. All right. It's time for a corner, everybody. Let's do it. Do it.
Hello, world. Here's the news that's bringing. Come on, get Jackie.
Good morning, Jackie Shechna.
Good morning.
Precious, I have yet another Ask Jackie for you. Are you ready?
I am.
Melissa in Marshall, North Carolina, and a lot of people in states that are being uncooperative, we are disappointed and have questions like this, I imagine. Dear Jackie, I'm sorry?
Disappointed!
Red states, we are.
Disappointed!
Dear Jackie, sadly for healthcare needs, I live in North Carolina, where the state has decided not to expand Medicare. The legislature has not yet approved setting up an insurance exchange. I've started receiving mailings from Blue Cross Blue Shield North Carolina, the biggest, almost only insurer in North Carolina. One line in the brochure jumped out. Your monthly premiums may increase as a result of changes under healthcare reform. As you read on, it offers plans at different levels to help you, quote-unquote, reduce the impact. I've tried to share with neighbors and friends that healthcare reform will help them, referring them to healthcare.gov. Then these mailings come and fear and confusion return. My question is, because of our state is not an active participant in the Affordable Care Act, will we indeed be looking at higher costs? In order for premiums to go down, do we need a state exchange in place, or are we at the mercy of very little choice / competition? Thanks for your continued information and communication on this complex issue. Melissa.
Well, I think, first of all, you said it right the first time. It is Medicaid, not Medicare. And people make that mistake all the time. Yeah, I mean, Medicare is for 65 and older.
Right.
Medicaid is for those who need financial help, who don't make enough money. So there's a difference. And a lot of states decided not to expand Medicaid, which is totally a state's decision, and it's ridiculous because the federal government was going to cover 100% of the cost of that for the first 3 years,
right,
and then only down to 90%. So it's not going to cost the states very much, and it would provide health care for the poor. So anyway, Boo on North Carolina for that one.
Boo.
But I would tell Melissa, and this is very important for people to understand, don't give in to the fear and confusion. It's not that confusing, and it's nothing to be afraid of. The states that opted out of running their own exchanges are going to have exchanges, and they are participating in the Affordable Care Act. They're going to be run by the federal government, which is actually what we were lobbying for in the first place, because you have more bargaining power and more control when there's some sort of nationally run mechanism. Each state, if they run their own, of course, can tailor them to their state, and that's ideal when there is a state that is actively and positively participating.
So,
but if you've got a state that is reluctant,
right,
it's actually good for the federal government at this point to get involved, because at least there'll be some standards.
I mean, I know we're just speculating, but do you think, you know, is there going to be a big difference between states that are being cooperative, obviously blue states where they are, you know, cooperating and setting up their own exchange, or do you think the ones in red states, like, or, you know, like Melissa's talking about, if they're run by the federal government, will there be an appreciable difference, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, it's really tough to tell. The nice thing is that, and Melissa brings this up in an interesting point, is that Blue Cross Blue Shield in North Carolina, she says, is the biggest, almost only insurer in North Carolina. And that's a problem nationwide, is that the markets are considered highly concentrated, which means that one or two insurers controls a majority of the market. These exchanges will allow smaller companies to participate, or companies that aren't normally in the individual market in that state, to enter and participate in the exchange. So she will get competitive prices, and she will get an opportunity to comparison shop. I think what I would guess is Blue Cross Blue Shield is doing at this point is it's afraid of losing its monopoly, and it's afraid of losing the standing it has in the state at this point. So what it's doing is sending out this information to fearmonger and to get people signed up for new plans before the exchanges are up and running or open for enrollment, at least in October.
Mm.
So if you enroll in a plan, you're committed to that plan, you can't go shop on the exchange.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Well, and I also, didn't we just hear that Blue Cross, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield has opted out of the exchange here in California?
Well, it's opted out of the small business market exchange. Apparently,
right,
you in California, they said if you want to participate in the individual insurance exchange, you also have to offer small business plans, and Anthem said it's not going to do that. And I think the California legislature or the organization that's watching over this allowed them to do that. But that's okay, because
Crystal Boy nervous, but I am a small business here in California, and we have Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield.
We do.
So what does that mean?
Nothing. I mean, you're going to continue to have your plan. If it chose not to participate
in the exchange. If Stephanie decides to keep giving it to us.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if it chooses not to this is what it seems so odd to me, because somebody brought this up to me on Twitter, and I responded to it, is it seems odd to me if you've got a whole group of people going to exchange, and they're shopping on the exchange, and they're going to look and comparison shop apples to apples to apples for the very first time. Why would you not want to be part of that? And
right,
if you're choosing not to be part of that because you think you're going to offer a better product, or your prices are going to be competitive or something, I mean, that's only a benefit for consumers. I can't imagine Anthem would opt to stay out of the exchange and be like, oh, by the way, we're more expensive and we're giving you less. I mean, it seems like a really rotten business move. So the only way that that could be a benefit to them, I would imagine, is if they're going to offer a better product or try to offer a better product. But
yeah,
it doesn't seem like that's likely. I mean, why would you not want to be in the mix where all the people are going to be shopping?
You know, I think that is a really, really important point you made, you know, out of the box there, is that they could be very well trying to scare you into doing something before the exchanges start and they have to compete. So, you know, people should not overreact and sign up right away necessarily, right?
Wait until October. Wait until you can sign up and look at the exchange plans. I mean, there's so many facets to this, but one of the most exciting parts of it, I think, is you'll finally be able to see what you're getting for your money. You'll finally be able to look and say, okay, this is what's offered, this is how much it costs, this is what this plan gives me. I mean, right now, it is so confusing and complicated intentionally. They do it to confuse you.
Yep.
So hopefully now we'll have the opportunity to look at things side by side by side and decide what we want. And I wouldn't panic. I wouldn't worry. You're not going to lose your health care. Your doctor's not going away. Like, this is really the fear-mongering at this point is absurd, because it's not going to happen. The sky's not falling. Like, just relax. You're going to get to see a doctor if you get sick. We're not taking anything away.
There you go. Nurse Jackie talking you down from the ledge. Yes. Now, Nurse Jackie, could you put me on with News Jackie, please?
Hold on one second.
All right.
Hi.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Well, she played along.
I think it would look a little something like this. journalist Helen Thomas obviously passed away.
Oh,
92 years old. I got to meet her in New York.
Yeah.
The president said Helen was a true pioneer, opening doors and breaking down barriers for generations of women in journalism. She covered every White House since President Kennedy's, and during that time, she never failed to keep presidents, myself included, on their toes.
Feisty. She was always so feisty.
Yeah, that would describe her. And she was just as feisty in person when I met her.
We had her on the show, too.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, 92 is good. You know, 92, it's always sort of odd to say, but it's sad when somebody passes like that.
I know.
Such a
My mom is 90. It always makes me like, oh, you know. I mean, it's.
Before Helen Thomas, they didn't allow women in the White House corps.
Yeah, but she was short enough. She got under the door.
Yeah.
Apparently. No, she didn't.
Staff.
Oh, Jackie Schechner. Jackie,
yes.
Look at this. U.S. marriage rates have dropped to a new low. Look at what the gays have done. You see?
It is totally the fault of
you
the gays.
You see? The gays have ruined the marriage. Would you look? All right. The marriage rate in the United States is continuing.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
Would you look? marriage rates in the U.S. are continuing a decades-long downward slide. Fewer American women than ever getting married, and others waiting longer to wed, according to a new report. Your thoughts?
I would imagine that the rising divorce rate and the proliferation of starter marriages is probably a good idea, that people are waiting longer or not getting married.
And when will Liberace marry?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I have a good reason for not marrying. No one's asked me. Okay.
Is that all it takes?
Yes!
Oh, I didn't realize we were not discriminating. We were just...
marrying anybody here in the crab bucket. it has dropped to a new low of 31.1%, meaning there are about 31 marriages in the U.S. for every 1,000 unmarried women. And interesting, in 1950, the number was 90.2. In 1920, it was 92.3. So,
this is going to come back to haunt me, but I would say, is it because there's a lack of not eligible men?
I'm going to say yes! No,
and by eligible, I mean but also, men who are viable candidates.
But somebody also pointed out what you said. The divorce rate remains high in the U.S., and individuals there are less likely to remarry than they were in the past. You know, it's the been there, done that clause, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times that it used to be, I think, that people got married and stayed married because it was the thing to do, not because they were necessarily happy, but there was a stigma on divorce. And I think now it's, unfortunately, people take marriage, I think, a little more lightly, and they realize that there is the opportunity to get divorced and remarried. And I don't know. I feel like maybe they're not just taking it. And also, our society has changed. You don't have to be married. I mean,
I think we've taken out the till death do us part clause, so just till it becomes otherwise inconvenient. In sickness, unless it's kind of the icky, smelly kind. All right.
So I don't want to wash your socks anymore. Good.
Until I don't feel like it. All right. Love you, Nurse Jackie. Thanks for the great
love
corner.
You guys too.
All
yay.
Right. Yay. Fabulous corner. Oh, by the way, Ken Cuccinelli.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the gays, he had some thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Wow, they've got quite a choice there in Virginia, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
It's Saturday's debate in the race for Virginia governor. Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, the cooch.
Sure. The cooch.
Did not back down from comments he made previously attacking gays and lesbians. Judy Woodruff asked him if he still believed being gay is against nature and harmful to society. He said, my personal beliefs about the personal challenges of homosexuality haven't changed.
Huh?
I don't find it challenging at all. I find it delightful. By the way, he's also been touting his ongoing defense of a ban on oral and anal sex in his state.
Yeah,
no
luck with that.
Fun for anybody.
Computer says no.
Wow.
Can you legislate
what is that?
What? Can you legislate that?
Just send
check.
Some tiny little drones and everyone's
and are there separate police forces, oral and anal?
Right.
Can you tell who's knocking on your door? All right.
Oral police.
Oral
I'm sorry.
Police.
Oh, you're
oh,
the anal people.
You're
okay.
Anal. Hang on. Hang on, I gotta call the other team. Sorry, we don't govern that area. Maybe they have to report it to each other? Sorry, we got some oral going
can
on.
Can you
over
believe
here.
What these people
right.
are doing?
Yeah.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
And do they go in the back door? The one force.
No, they'd be expecting that.
He said LGBT people have no souls and are inherently self-destructive.
Uh-huh. I wonder what the lovely and talented Mrs. Cuccinelli thinks of these.
One would wonder. One Mrs. wonders Cucci- what Mrs. Cuccinelli thinks about the ban on oral.
Yeah.
He also once ordered the Virginia State Seal, it's not the fish, the actual seal, to be redesigned.
A seal is not a fish.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. Mammal. be redesigned so as to cover the bared breasts of the Roman goddess depicted on it.
Yeah.
Wow. Prudy McPruderson.
That's what John Ashcroft did when to cover up the breasts of
wasn't the old
justice.
Slogan Virginia's for lovers? Not anymore.
Computer says nah.
No fun for anybody. 19 minutes after the hour.
Chaste lovers.
Right.
Yes. Love from a distance.
Yes.
Ugh.
Love that is only missionary.
That's not from a distance.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour. Right. What?
From a distance?
What? Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. June in Georgia. Hi, June.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Listen, I wanted to bring up something here. You remember those kids that was in New York when they had the Central Park rapists? Those black boys was picked up, teenage boys was picked up in the park, and they were put in jail for a long time, for like, I'm not sure, like 10 years or something
was
before they were released.
They refer to it as the Wilding?
Yeah.
Central Park,
yes.
Yeah, remember those kids, they had no evidence that they, outside, they were all picked up in different parts of the park, and they accused and said, boy, you're the rapist. But it turned out the guy that actually did the raping was in jail, and he admitted to the rape. And they proved that those boys was innocent, and they were all released years later. You don't remember that?
Yeah. No, you're right. That's a long time ago, but yeah, I do remember now. Yeah, interesting. Debbie writes, this is sort of a love letter. It's very cute.
Oh, okay.
You'll love your show, giving me reason to laugh, perhaps. To think I'm a white woman with a black son-in-law, so my grandchildren are mixed race. One of my granddaughters came to me when she was about 6 or 7 because she thought she needed to apologize because she considered herself black, and she didn't want to hurt my feelings or have me think she was rejecting me. She was near tears when she told me this.
Aww.
It was all I could do not to hold back my own tears. What I did at the time was comfort her and assure her that I loved her very much and never doubted that she loved me. Anyway, she said the reason why people of mixed race always consider themselves part of the darker race is because the darker race will accept them. It's just that simple. I'm afraid it's just going to take time to change the way people feel about darker skin, and until then, laws will be needed to keep the worst of those feelings under check. Grandma Deb, all right, let's go to Jeanette in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jeanette.
Good morning, Stephanie. I would just like to say I'm an African-American woman from California, and I just stumbled up on your show by accident 2 or 3 days ago.
Uh-oh.
And I would like to commend you because when you begin to first discuss this Trayvon, I actually felt you sniffle and cry, and you were fighting back your tears. In essence, what I'm saying, I happened to also watch another show where this guy named Lappy or Tappy, they had him on a whole show, and he stated blacks, they're killing each other off, which is true. But that would be like me pointing the finger saying it was a white person that killed all those kids in Columbine or the Sandy Hook.
Right.
You're pointing the fingers, and then you shared your own personal story, how someone tried to take your bite, and the black women stepped in and stopped it.
Right.
So there's good and bad in all races.
That's right.
The only other thing I'd like to say, Stephanie, is this. I have a question in my mind. First of all, the Zimmerman guy, number one, he disobeyed orders.
Mm-hmm.
That was off the top.
Yep, number one.
He disobeyed. So he disobeyed his higher command.
Yeah, well, and he doesn't have a higher command. He's not a cop. That's the whole. And by the way, I would like to take credit. I bet you I scared that young guy straight because he's probably has lived in fear of some crazy little.
Black women came in. They were going to beat his behind. Trust that.
That's right. He's probably lived in fear his whole life of skinny white women tackling him. He's probably never done anything like that again. I'm just going to take that credit right now.
And he's probably never made anything of himself because you scared him so bad.
No. You know what? I'm going to say he's probably going to be our next president.
Yeah. Not with
and he will tell
this
story in his inaugural address how a skinny white woman in 1989 tackled him when he was trying to steal her bike. And he, you know, scared straight. Just saying. Okay.
It could happen.
Amid all the stories of interracial healing, Ray Dong Chong calls Oprah vile and uses the N-word.
Oh.
Huh? What now?
Yeah.
She's Tommy Chong's daughter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Actress. She was in The Color Purple with Oprah.
And she was in Commando, too, with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. And these kinds of things of this nature.
She was in the Get in the Chopper scene.
Get in the Chopper!
That was who was supposed to get the chopper.
Yeah, Don Chang and the chopper. And the changer.
And she's half black, half Hispanic, you were saying.
No. Black, half Chinese.
Chong.
Hence the name Chong.
Chinese.
Oh,
or
okay.
Chinese, yes.
Right. Anyway, my point is, she called Oprah the N-word. I'm like, wait a minute, what? There's some details. She said some very nice things about Oprah, then also
And she then
some very mean things.
Yeah, unleashes.
Right. Huh. Yikes. We'll tell you all about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sorry.
Stephanie Miller.
But even at your age, I'm sure you understand things can't always go your way.
Oh, no. Right before I came back, someone sent me a tiny picture of a tiny kitten and a puppy. Dog finds a tiny kitten and risk everything to save her. Oh, look. He kisses a kitty.
Oh. Okay. I'm back. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Okay. One more story about how men are gross. Sorry. I'll find another one about a woman pooping somewhere.
All right.
That was a woman, though, who was pooping.
Right. Right. That was part of our men are gross and women are gross segment earlier. An airline passenger accused a fellow passenger of molesting her on a flight from Phoenix to Newark.
Ugh.
Oh, boy. I'm not the only one that gets molested on flights. Okay. She said that, let's see, she was on a United Airlines flight last summer when she told authorities she awoke to find the guy next to her had slipped his hands into her blouse and shorts.
Well,
in her testimony, she reports the woman said the stranger whispered, "Kiss me," into her ear, and she woke up.
Hey. And then I woke up.
Okay. Oh, God. Although I would fly any airline just to get out of Texas at this point, if I were you.
From San Antonio to El Paso, from Austin to Fort Worth, suddenly we've noticed people want to get out of Texas. We're Transvaginal Airlines.
Yes.
And thanks to us, people have discovered thousands of exciting destinations outside the Lone Star State. It's become like a whole nother country. Contact your travel agent and meet us at DFW's new Tampon Gate.
All right. Awesome. All right. So I thought after the president's extraordinary speech Friday, we were in a period of post-racial healing.
No.
Oh, God, no.
No, not if you're Ray Dong Chong, who was in Tommy Chong's daughter, was in the Color Purple with Oprah. She had some nice things to say about Oprah and then some...
Not so nice things.
Not so nice. she said when we worked with her, she was that fat chick. That was the wannabe cheerleader, that was the student council president, that was best friends with the principal. She was that fat chick in school that did everything and everyone loved her. That's Oprah. Love me, love me, love me.
Wow.
You got to respect her no matter how vile she is.
Huh?
Because ultimately she's all about Oprah and she's boring. she took a woman, if you look at the way she looks, 60 years ago she would have been a housekeeper. Luckily, she would not have been a house N-word. She would have been a field N-word.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Okay.
That was...
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks.
So, she'll be entering rehab when?
She needs to get back in the chopper now.
Get back in the chopper!
In a totally unrelated story.
I dare say that Oprah is marginally more successful than Ray Dong Chong.
Quite a bit,
just
actually.
A skosh. In a totally unrelated story that has nothing to do with rehab, Amanda Bynes...
Oh, yeah.
ran up a bill at the Ritz-Carlton, New York City, $2,000. $2,000 worth of room service before getting the boot. On Thursday, she was apparently ejected from the hotel for smoking weed inside her hotel room, as well as for being intolerably rude to hotel staff. She placed nearly 40 separate room service orders for a grand total of about $2,000. Munchies. Zoinks.
That's child star syndrome, I think.
Yeah, right.
You get everything you want by the time you're 11, and then suddenly...
She's Veruca Salt.
Yes, exactly. Not the band.
No.
The character from...
Ray Wood in Louisiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Ray.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm watching your show, and I'm thinking about all this going on about old, Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. You don't hear nothing about O.J. Simpson when he killed that white woman and that white man. You don't hear anything about that.
Yeah, there was hardly any publicity about the O.J. trial. You're right. I didn't hear anything about that.
O.J.
Did you?
Who?
What the? Huh?
What now? Okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I haven't heard anything about it. Clearly, it hasn't been talked about.
The president, that wasn't covered enough. That's what most people said. I don't hear anything about that. How's that trial going? Right.
40 years ago, almost.
Has ignited another discussion on race. Here he is Friday.
There are very few African-American men in this country who haven't had the experience of being followed when they were shopping in a department store. That includes me. There are very, very few African-American men who haven't had the experience of walking across the street and hearing the locks click on the doors of cars. That happens to me, at least before I was a senator. There are very few African Americans who haven't had the experience of getting on an elevator and a woman clutching her purse nervously and holding her breath until she had a chance to get off. That happens often.
It just happened in the congressional elevator with Michelle Bachmann, in fact.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days.
Floor four. Floor four.
God.
Let me out. Let me out.
Oh, God. Before that black man spills my purse. Oh. I'm sorry, Jim. What now? What were you saying?
I forgot now.
Okay.
Never mind.
Oh, okay. Well. Tom in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Tom.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a couple points, you know, and kind of bring it back down to the human aspect. My wife and I have been just tore up over this story about Trayvon since we heard it. And I've noticed a lot about people. We're both in the services. She's in medical field. I'm in the industrial field. I'm on new job sites every day. She has 5 to 10 new patients every day. So we see and hear a lot about this from all kinds of people. And I've come to the basic understanding that anyone that gets told this story, no matter where you're from, what your race is, your religion, your sex, nothing, whoever you are, if you hear this story told to you and it doesn't bring a tear to your eye, there's some kind of disconnect with humanity and you've got some soul searching to do. And sadly enough, we meet and hear from lots of people every day and we talk about it all the time. And we don't understand why they really are disconnected to some degree with humanity. We don't see the sadness.
Well, you know, Eric Bullard, Tom, was just on with us, but talking about this right-wing machine that just was so invested in smearing a dead teenager for the last year and a half. Can you imagine someone they didn't even know that, you know, I don't think, like you say, according to anybody, did anything wrong except that, you know what I mean, was in the wrong place at the wrong time, I guess, for, you know, George Zimmerman being around, right?
Yeah. I have four children. My wife and I have four children. There isn't a minute of the day, if I'm not looking right at them, I'm worried about them. And if I put myself forward in time, they're young. My oldest is 9. So if I put myself at, let's say, a 17-year-old and put myself in the shoes of that family, the kid went down to the store, and 40 minutes later, you get a phone call like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. If that doesn't wrench your heart and bring you to tears, you have a disconnect with humanity, and you've got some soul searching to do.
Yep, I agree. Sharon in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sharon.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I wanted to call and talk about that juror that was interviewed on CNN.
Uh-huh.
Two or three things. First of all, I don't think she was open-minded at all, because the way she referred to Mr. Zimmerman was as, she called him George.
Georgie? Yeah. I'm like,
Georgie.
What? Yeah.
And then later on in the interview, when he asked her about Miss Chantel's testimony,
right.
She said she found it not to be credible, but she did say when he asked her about that remark, the creepy white cracker,
mm-hmm.
She said she believed they did say that. Now, she believed that part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that to say this. When he went on in the interview, she kept referring to them as they, as though they were the other.
Yeah.
And then when he asked her what she actually believed happened, this is what she said. She said she just believed that Trayvon got mad and then hit Mr. Zimmerman. But that was nowhere in the testimony that he said that he got mad and proceeded to fight him.
Yeah,
so
no, exactly.
I'm saying that she had the picture of an angry young black male.
Yeah, well, I mean, what she said is that he was scared. She said that she told him to run. Let's go to Annette in Chicago. Hi, Annette. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
I love your show.
Thank you.
But I'm calling about, I'm 66-year-old black woman, and I've voted for many presidents. I didn't vote for Bush, but I respected Bush as my president. What I don't understand is why so many white people can't accept our black president. Black people have accepted all the white presidents that we have. We didn't, you know, riot because we didn't get the president we picked or if we won or lost or I don't.
Hey, you know who did riot is whites. They remember the Brooks Brothers riots in 2000 in Florida?
Phony Izod rebellion.
Yeah, to stop the counting the votes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the phony Izod rebellion, exactly. Oh, y'all, come on. Fans what? Threw food at Rihanna. Has she not been through enough? Really? Apparently she needs to bring her, you know.
Umbrella.
Okay. She was forced to stop her performance in Manchester when fans began hurling potato chips at her on stage in protest of her arriving an hour late. She ranted, "This is the next level. There is a good crazy and there's a bad crazy, but when you throw up here, that's an epic. That's an epic fail. I swear to God, cut that out. Chips.
Chips don't
really?
Hurt.
It's that important? Poor Rihanna.
Potato chips don't hurt though."
Well, and if you've survived Chris Brown.
This, Manchester in the north of England. Is that the Manchester you're talking about?
Yes.
Well, chips there are French fries.
Oh, well, then those are heavier.
So that's
barely. It's not like they're batteries or anything.
It's not Philly.
Right.
Okay. Robin in North Carolina. Listen, I survived a Philly sexy liberal.
Yeah. Love your show.
Thanks, Robin.
Thank you, guys. Listen, we just all have to, all the people that call in that aren't crazy tales, we all got to stick together because it isn't about color or sexuality. What Zimmerman did is just fucking disgusting.
Oh, okay. Yo. Right. Wow. Okay. Did you get that current?
Did you get that current?
That was a nice big F-bomb for mama. Okay. Oh, do I need to keep talking for
you
a little bit?
You need to keep talking for a maybe take one more call?
That's what happens when we have
one more effing call.
Stop it. Yeah, and then what'll happen is they'll do it too, right?
Yes.
And then I am screwed.
Yeah, okay.
Can I say that?
Yes, you can say that.
All right. Do I need to take another call, or can I? All right, let's do one more. Jim in Oregon, please do not drop an F or an S-bomb on me.
Oh, you got it.
All right, thank you.
I just wanted to comment. I'm almost 60, and I've seen a lot of racial stuff. It's unreal. If there's still white Americans that believe that racism does not still exist in America, all you got to do is go on the Internet and check the stats for prison sentencing for white defendants compared to black defendants for the exact same crime. If that doesn't get through their thick skulls, I don't know what will.
Yep.
The disparity is just outrageous.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It is a disgrace. It really
is. It really is.
Isn't it? Okay, just kidding.
Ha! Sheesh.
You're paying attention. 46 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Julie in Seattle running, what the hell kind of show we're running over here? Dear Ms. Miller, how can you call yourself a news show and would not be providing minute-to-minute updates on how far Duchess Kate is dilated? The real newslets are totally on it. I have no idea, Jim. She is too posh to push, isn't she?
Too posh to push.
I think the Queen is just going to do the cesarean herself if it's not out by
we
noon.
We shall do the cesarean ourselves if the baby does not emerge by this after lunch.
She's a thing later with the corgis, and she needs to get this going.
Whatever.
She has afternoon tea to get to.
On. Exactly. Just get in the way of her.
We are on holiday.
Oh.
For bleep's sake.
Oh, my goodness. So Scott writes, oh, I told my delightful story about the late
one?
80s when I was riding my bike in Central Park.
Yeah.
The one where you pooped? Or the one
that was
the
other
one.
One. The other one. That was the seaweed story.
Okay.
Where I didn't quite make it.
Seaweed? How much seaweed did you eat?
I just remember it was explosive, and I remember there was stuff on the ceiling. That was a bad, bad day. Anyway, that's not my point.
What?
The point is, it was a happy ending to that story.
How is that
a young black kid, tried to steal my bike while I was riding it.
I'm like, how is poop on the ceiling a happy ending?
And I, just bought the bike the day before, I ran after him and tackled him
right on
top of the bike. At which point, a couple of black ladies in the car got out and started screaming at him, and then he got scared and ran away. And so I'm just saying, race has nothing. There are good white people and black people and whatever. So Scott writes, you stood your ground. It was nice to hear that you stood your ground, Stephanie. You're real lucky that your mugger didn't file assault charges against you for attacking him on what was now his bike. Right.
Good point.
As for the Zimmerman case, he was attacked by Martin.
What?
Who, according to his friend Rachel, thought Zimmerman was a homosexual predator. Oh, he's a Rush listener. Yeah,
uh-huh.
I can. Uh-huh. Okay, Scott.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the real story there, is Trayvon was a gay basher.
Nice try.
All right, yeah. Nice try, sir. Okay. Let's go to Patrice in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Patrice.
Hi, Stephanie. I was just calling to say a couple of things that it's actually, I mean, it's not about racism or anything or Zimmerman getting off. It's the gun companies that win. Because if people are angry, they go out and buy guns. People are scared, they go out and buy guns.
Yep.
People are racist. They go out and buy guns. So they're capitalizing off of this whole shenanigan at this point.
Although, Patrice, we noticed that the NRA didn't say anything about that Trayvon Martin.
Yes.
If only he'd had a gun. Interesting that. Funny that.
What's the difference there?
Funny that. What could it be? What could it be? It's the first time ever we've not heard them say the only solution would be more guns.
If only Trayvon had a gun, then,
Curtis in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Curtis.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
First of all, I want to say you are a very beautiful young lady, inside and out.
Young?
Shut up.
And with your
parts of her
your views.
Shut up, crab in the crab bucket. Yes, thank you, Curtis.
I'm a 61-year-old Vietnam veteran.
Thank you for your service.
She's only 10 years younger than you.
You shut up. Go ahead.
The thing I would like to know, if what if the roles had been reversed and that Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman deal.
Right, if he had shot Zimmerman.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
What would America's thoughts then be? Myself, I don't use the N-word, not even around my friends or anything. I don't believe in it. Yet I have been called honky, white trash, cracker, white bread, every derogatory name that a white person can be called. And so I'm just, I don't know.
Okay, well, do you think that has the same heft that the N-word does, given our history?
I didn't even know what honky means.
It would
call me that. They all sound goofy. Yeah. I mean, maybe
it
refers
the same
to
have the same historical
some upper-class twit sort of a person hell sort of way of speaking.
Yeah, and cracker just makes me laugh. Sorry. Patricia in Ireland, you're on the East. In Ireland?
In Ireland.
Hello, Patricia.
Which part of Ireland?
Hello?
Hi, are you actually calling from Ireland?
No, I'm not. I am from there.
Oh, okay.
I am a naturalized citizen, which makes me feel like I had an operation. But thank you, pretty lady, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have one comment. my feeling that the rage and prejudice exhibited by the white race towards the black race emanates from their feelings of guilt about the way they have treated them years ago,
mm-hmm.
and are still doing.
Yeah. Well, we should have some guilt, I think, and if you don't, then stop it.
Of course, the Irish have been discriminated against as well.
Pardon me?
No dogs or Irish need to apply.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
And they don't even look that different.
You're trying to get me to say manly yes, but I like it too.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Okay, stop it. Jackie mentioned this earlier, Jim.
Take my petting old.
Okay. Senator Mitch McConnell's going to get teabagged. Did you hear the news?
Yeah.
Wowee.
I'm not sure that's possible. What if I retreat within my shell?
He also doesn't have a nose.
Can you get in the back of the shell? He is reportedly getting a challenge in his 2014 reelection with Kentucky businessman Matt Bevin planning to announce he is running against McConnell in the Republican primary.
Slow and steady wins flourish.
Right, right. And unless you're getting teabagged, then you better skedaddle along. You better hurry up. All right, I just feel the need to announce this before we leave. Johnny Depp likes to go commando.
Oh, yeah.
Just think everybody should know that.
Not do that when you have rips in your pants.
Yeah, he found he had a hole in his jeans and had to patch them with duct tape because he does not wear underwear.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I have not thought of the duct tape solution. I also go commando.
Have you ever ripped your jeans there?
No. Cher scored $6.5 million for a one-nighter in Dagestan in one of the stands in Russia.
Really?
Wow. An area so dangerous, tourists are warned away because of bombings, kidnappings, and shootouts between police and Islamic terrorists that occur almost daily.
Hmm.
But are no match for Sherrod Actel.
No.
As you know.
We don't have time to play that bit.
Oh, yeah! No need. It's a really old bit. All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Travis on phones and drums, who all still smells like a bag of garbage from Comic-Con. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.